Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Walk On College Football Podcast here on Shooting the Sports Ish. You're back live in the dorm room with JB. I am Cam, and we are headed into a week seven, which is going to be interesting for the two of us. And man, we got to talk about week six. Some stuff happened in week six. So we're going to roll the intro and get right into it. JB, what's going on, man?
You see why I'm wearing this big smile on my face?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's official. In case you were under a rock,
mm-hmm.
The sun
mm-hmm.
is now shining on Athens.
Yes, it is.
We are now the number one team in the nation, officially, after handling Auburn. And the fall of the evil Sith Empire that is Alabama football. But we'll get to that in a moment. But, man, it just kind of feels good. This feels good. It feels so good. Oh, I can get used to this. Is this what we've been missing? Oh, man. I love this.
Yeah.
I have more of this. Let me get this off you because, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to blind y'all. And the show just started.
That's fair.
Number one team in the nation.
Good for you, man. It's got to be nice being number one, you know? It's got to be nice. It looks good on you. Number one looks good on you.
I mean, you're smelling yourself a little bit, you know what I'm saying? You eat a little bigger, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You feel a little better about yourself, got a little swagger in your step when you're walking down the street. So, yeah, I like this. I like to keep this going.
I think it's going well. I think it's fine. We got to go back and talk about some week six stuff that happened. So let's start with our games. Obviously just a rout, in Athens this last weekend.
All right. Let's talk about how we let down and we let Auburn score the touchdown.
You guys let Auburn score a touchdown, which I feel like should not give you the first rank. You should be ranked second, but what do I know, I guess?
I mean, the way it went, the way they dropped off Alabama, they might as well still be number one. But I'll get to that.
We will get to that. Man, you guys look, I mean, really good again. It's just stupid. Your defense is just stupid. I don't really know any other way to say it.
Nah, the defense looks stupid, and Stetson Bennett had himself a game. No JT Daniels still. He's still recovering.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into next week when I talk about next week, but
yeah,
and what his condition is. But Stetson Bennett is just carrying the offense. We have a three running back system, which is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like everything is just kind of just rolling. And you wouldn't be able to tell that we are just still missing so many people out of the starting lineup.
Yeah, no, nobody's noticed. You guys seem to be doing fine, and nobody noticed it.
It was just all right.
you're doing great. Yeah, man, it's a constant. The fun part about watching a defense like Georgia's is, especially if you're not a fan of the team that they're playing that weekend, which I will be in a couple weekends, so it's going to be miserable, but right now it's fun to watch because everything just eventually gets taken away, right? And that's always the sign of a really good defense. The sign of a good to a really good defense is you can manipulate one area. And the sign of the great defenses are those defenses that just over time can manipulate all areas of whatever you're trying to do offensively. And that's just where Georgia is right now. And it's just impressive to watch because it's almost like your DC can just, you know, kind of do one of these on the piece of paper and pick a whole defense, and it's just going to work.
Bo Nix, he made some flashy plays. He pulled some rabbits out of the hat and some key occasions. But other than that, like, that defense didn't allow much of anything.
No, and they just don't. They just don't allow things to happen. which is the most impressive part of it. Watching Georgia beat Auburn was fun, I guess. Well, it was really fun for you. But it's always fun watching a dominating defense like that. My boys in Knoxville had a pretty good day on Saturday.
I heard. Talk about it.
We donned the black unis. We went dark mode. And won Uniswag's uniform of the week, which was awesome. back-to-back weeks of scoring 28 points in the opening quarter. Beat South Carolina 45-20. Should have beaten South Carolina, but I didn't. I don't know if anybody thought we were going to beat them that bad. No. Coming into the game, their defense ranked pretty highly in some areas. They were very efficient, but it was 38-7 at halftime, and then that's just kind of what it was for the rest of the way. We throttled down hard in the second half.
Yeah.
Hard. We throttled down in the second half. The second half scoring was 13-7 South Carolina. If you just split it up by half. So we throttled back, made sure we kept everybody as healthy as we could coming into this week. This week starts our run of four just horrific weekends that just make everybody, it just makes you kind of want to feel sick a little bit.
The people who don't know, who are those four games?
That would be Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, and Kentucky. We need to win one of those four. Because that's the thing, too, is like we have a very flashy offense. We're scoring a lot of points. We're 4-2. Everybody's starting to buy into the staff and what they're trying to do. But it's still a year one staff. And it's still a year one staff in which Heupel showed up and 30 players transferred away from Tennessee when he showed up. And 10 of them were starters or played significant minutes in the previous season. So we're still behind the eight ball here as an organization. And people need to remember that, I think.
I think also that I think that your offense is really humming right now. Like it doesn't matter who you're playing. We talked about this last week. Like as long as your offense is producing in the way and having the output you guys are having, it really doesn't matter who you're playing. But it's an encouraging sign that when you do get the guys in who are supposed to be your coach's guys, and what that offense potentially could look like in 2 years from now, you could probably have the best offense in college football.
Boy, potentially. Potentially. I mean, that's what, you know, we were in the top 5 in a lot of offensive categories through 6 games. That's Heupel's bread and butter. That's what he did. That's all what he did at UCF. That's what he did at Missouri before that. That's what he did at Oklahoma before that. The guy has figured something out and it works. And it works at a lot of different places, which is really nice. Hendon Hooker, our starting quarterback, has the number 1 QBR in the SEC. And I think he's 3rd in the nation right now. He doesn't turn the ball over, or he hasn't. So we absolutely need that for the next 4 weeks. So hopefully we'll get there. We have a big one this weekend, which we'll get into. A couple other things around the SEC we got to hit. Oh boy, Kentucky just mollywhopping LSU.
Man, and everybody thought that might be the close game.
Well, we talked about it last week, and I kind of said that. Boy, that just feels like a game Kentucky's going to lose. Yeah. And now I got to ask you this, JB. We thought Florida at home was a late Kentucky loss. Like, you're looking at it in the third quarter and you're like, Kentucky's going to find a way to lose this game. That's just what Kentucky does, especially against Florida.
Right.
Then they win it. And LSU is scrappy, but not as good, but still scrappy, still LSU. And you're like, oh, man, this is a letdown game. And then they double LSU's points. Are we clear to say that Kentucky is a contender, particularly you as a Georgia fan? And I'm not saying that you think Kentucky would beat Georgia, but as somebody who's going to see Kentucky in a few weeks, and that game is going to be for the SEC East crown. That's this week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so used to saying next week and next week. We're finally next week. We're finally here. Is Kentucky for real? even with a loss to you guys this weekend, can we consider Kentucky a legitimate threat in the national scene?
I think that we've played teams that were better in aspects.
Mm.
Like, but as a whole, this will be the best overall team from top down in efficiency and just getting things done and getting stops and moving the football. This will be the best team we've played so far this season. How legitimate are they? I don't know. But I've ranted and I've gone off the last couple of weeks when I've talked about how I think Georgia's going to steamroll and plow over whoever are playing this week. You're not going to get that from me this week. This Kentucky team has my fullest attention.
Mm.
I don't think that this is going to be like a blowout like the last couple of weeks. It may. Mm. I don't know. But we'll see. I think this Kentucky team is better than people give it credit for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody thought it's not just the fact they're 6-0. What's the way they're doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a team that gave up 24 points to South Carolina and then gave up 17 points to Florida 2 weeks later. You know, they just find ways to win every week. I think it's going to be a fun one. I'm really excited to hear your preview on that next segment. A couple other games we've got to look at nationally. Boy, that Iowa Penn State game, I don't think it disappointed.
That was fun.
Tough news. Penn State's quarterback goes out in the first half and doesn't come back. Comes back out of the tunnel in street clothes. Penn State misses him for the entire second half in Iowa. It's really tough. Tough loss there. You never want to see anybody go down, but especially in a game of that magnitude, you just want both teams to be healthy and just slug it out and see what happens. But, boy, that game didn't disappoint, man.
Man, you're talking about just a slugfest, just two Titans going at it, like 3-4 in the nation, and just everything you hope for. It's got the hype. It's got the drama. It's got the momentum swings. You had the emotion, the atmosphere. You had the WWE champion there. It was just everything you could have ever wanted in this week's college football. Like, and it's just kind of crazy to think, Cam, that despite how great and amazing and crazy that game was, it's still only the second best game on the weekend.
I mean, you could argue third.
You really could.
Yeah, I think we got to save the biggest one for last, so we're going to go to the Red River rivalry. JB, again, Texas tried to do it to us.
They tried
to get us to buy in.
It was
right there. We were about a week away from saying, maybe we're not sure, but they could be. But no, JB, we didn't do that. And then that's what Texas did. Up 28-3?
Yeah, like 28-3.
28-7. They were up 28-7 after the first quarter.
Whew.
And then Oklahoma found a quarterback.
Spencer Rattler.
Mm. Tough.
Yeah. And tough. I think me and you have we've shown Spencer a lot of love on this podcast during the life of this podcast. We did it last season. We did it coming to this season. Mm-hmm. It's not working.
Yeah.
It's just not. Whether it's the system, whether it's him, or the marriage isn't right, the chemistry isn't there, it's not working. And it's about time for him to enter the transfer portal or, you know, think about finishing getting his degree or something. I don't know. But where he's at right now is it's not working. And the offense looks so much better and looks so much more efficient. And it looks so much like more potent when he's not under center.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you could see a clear difference in the second half of the game than the first half of the game, with the play from Oklahoma's backup, which was, I mean, he played some of the throws that that he had to make down the stretch just to give him a chance to win was mighty impressive.
Absolutely. And I believe that's Caleb Williams, the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, freshman comes in, new energy, new life, and Oklahoma looked deadly. This is the best. That was the most efficient that offense has looked since Baker left.
Yeah. I mean, I can't disagree with you on that. Really good stuff there. I mean, even on the Texas side of the ball, right? Like, their quarterback goes for 380 and 5. You know, Bijan Robinson has 20 carries for 140 yards. Like, God, this team put up a lot of yards and a lot of points. Like, you can't score 48 points and lose. You just can't do that.
No.
And the toughest part is that Texas effectively lost that game on the same play that was run twice.
Yeah.
They were in the same direct snap, fake toss, you know, trap curl kind of thing to tie the game. And then they ran the same thing to go ahead and win the game.
That's all on the defense. Yeah. Anytime you're talking about holding a lead, defending a lead, whether it's 27-3, 28-3, 25, it doesn't matter what the number is. It's at that point, it's on you and your defense to stand up and do what you got to do. The offense has done its job. You have to make those stops. You have to get that opposing offense off the field. I don't care what you have to do, but you have to do it. You have to maintain because, like you said, there's no excuse. And there's no reason why your offense puts up 48 and you still lose the game.
I agree with you. I think the toughest part that's got to be on the DC, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, he's got to know that's coming.
Absolutely. If I was him, I don't even walk back to the locker room.
No. Just tell him I'll meet everybody on the bus.
Basically.
Boy, that what I will say, though, is that had – about midway through the third quarter, that game had my full attention. That was a fun game to watch. It also ended with Texas losing, which, you know, makes things a little bit sweeter. But just a really fun game to watch, man. That rivalry never disappoints or seldom ever disappoints.
No.
You know, there's no 55-50 games every year, but that rivalry rarely, if ever, disappoints you during play. But boy, the main story, and I think JB, you can talk about this now. We get Bama loses on the road to an unranked Texas A&M team, a good Texas A&M team, a good A&M Man. Team. They're good, but an unranked A&M team.
Who had this on their bingo cards for 2021?
Boy, I certainly did not. A&M kicked the field goal, and then Alabama marched down and scored to make it 7-3. And I was like, oh, good game. GGs. And then it was no longer GGs. I was wrong. I was very wrong.
Very wrong.
Yeah.
Look,
super wrong.
Isaiah Spiller is that dude.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not sure where Calzada came from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how long he's been starting. I'm not sure where he went to school. I'm not even sure if the kid has a future. But I guarantee you this, that kid just threw the biggest game of his life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if he goes on to the pros, become number one overall pick, and becomes a Super Bowl MVP in his last year of his career. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
This game, that game,
mm-hmm.
that was the biggest game of his career, and he absolutely owned it.
Absolutely. Yeah, an almost perfectly clean game except for the one interception that he had, I mean, on the mm-hmm. on the books anyways. But man, I mean – what a game plan they had coming in there. And they took advantage of an Alabama defense that was supposed to be an elite level defense.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be like Georgia 1, Bama 2, as far as defenses go, and defenses that you just did not want to see. But A&M figured something out. They just put 40. They just hung 40 on Alabama.
And we've been saying it, Slick, for the last couple of weeks that this Alabama defense has shown chinks in the armor. They've shown vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Like we saw, we definitely saw it against Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss hung in there for a half.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are again, and it finally falls. Like we can't keep playing close games and expecting to just come out unscathed every time. It's going to catch up to you eventually. And I'm not sure exactly what Texas A&M saw in the film room that week that was like, oh, we're going to key in on this. Maybe just Isaiah Spiller had angels in the backfield on his side. I don't know. But, oh, my God, they exposed that Bama defense in a way that we haven't seen done in, man, years.
Yeah, probably Burrow in the SEC championship game or Trevor Lawrence in the title game.
Yeah. It's not often that we see that Alabama defense look so stifled and just Swiss Army knife through.
Yeah. They looked human.
Yes.
Which you often don't see in an Alabama team.
Especially since you considering that we know, like in our heart of hearts, that's a Pro Bowl defense. That's an NFL Pro Bowl defense.
It will, one day, yes, it will be. Absolutely.
This is one of those defenses we'll look back on in like 4 or 5 years and be like, four-time Pro Bowler, three-time Pro Bowler, one-time Pro Bowler. Like this is that level of a defensive talent.
Yeah. I agree. JB.
Yes, sir.
The rankings came out. And guess the committee holds A&M in higher regard than most other people do. Maybe.
So we're here already.
I figured why beat around the bush.
Okay. So I'm not gonna lie to you. Those rankings pissed me off.
Sorry, hold on. The Key and Peele skit, the Black Republicans. I am pissed. I don't know why, but when you started it, that was exactly what popped into my head. Just like yanking up the jeans. I am
that joint. Those rankings had me heated.
Yeah.
Come Sun, just Saturday. It was Sunday afternoon when I first saw them. Mm-hmm. Like, bro. I'm gonna need to compose myself for this.
Yeah, please.
The number one team in the land lost to an unranked team.
Yeah.
Not in the top 25, unranked, and only fell 4 spots. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Penn State lost to Iowa 3-4 and only fell 3 spots. So make it make sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? Especially when in the same season, just a few weeks ago, Clemson was 10 and they lost to unranked. That was the week before the Boston College game. I forgot who it was that they lost, so they had no business losing to. But still, unranked. And then the next week, they lost their ranking. They dipped in the rankings. So why is it the number one team in the land lost to an unranked team and only fell 4 spots? Why is that? How is that even possible? Who is lying to who? Who is paying off who? Who is sucking off who? Who has a sex tape or something on somebody that this was allowed to happen? Because I guarantee you nobody else would have been guaranteed that kind of courtesy. Nobody else would have been gotten that kind of, like, favoritism.
No.
Like, Texas A&M was better than them being unranked. I think we can agree there.
Sure.
I think we can agree that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, they're still unranked. I've talked to other people about this. Well, it's Alabama. Well, I mean, they're the defending champions. Well, they won 19 straight. None of that bull. I was about to cuss.
It's fine.
None of that crap matters about where you came from or how good you were, how good you have been.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the rankings, about who you are, where you are, who you lost to, or who you beat on any given week. It fluctuates based on those factors. None of that other stuff about potential or the past matters. So why did the number one team drop only four spots when the number three, when the number four team only dropped three spots and then lost to number three?
Yeah.
Make it make sense.
It doesn't. Also, BYU, a top 10 team that lost to an unranked team, and they fell nine spots. And we all know the moment Cincinnati loses, they are just dead. Just absolutely dead in the water. The moment they lose. Absolutely.
Like clear and present danger fall.
Yeah. That's
Captain
all that
America
is.
Jumping from a plane, free falling.
I think
they have a parachute? No, he did not.
A few things are at play. One, I think it's the bravado of the committee in the SEC. I just think the SEC holds a lot of weight for teams. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it probably is that. And it's also the fact that it is Alabama. It just really is. I don't know. I don't know any other way to say it. But as of this moment, Alabama not in the college football playoff.
For now.
For now. But as it sits, we're halfway through the season. Think about it this way. Halfway through the season, Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Ohio State are none of the teams that are currently in the college football playoff. That's good. Turnover is good. We like new names.
It's all for now. Because we know Oklahoma is bound to slip up.
Possibly, yeah. They still have to get by Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's good.
And then maybe due to favoritism, since where it's clear that's what's going on here, maybe Cincinnati gets leapfrogged. Maybe.
It's possible. I mean, so you still have Michigan at 6-0. By the way, the Big Ten hosts five of the top 10 rankings right now.
We saw that coming.
Which is crazy. They've got Iowa, Michigan, and Michigan State are all undefeated Big Ten teams. So eventually those will have to figure themselves out. Ohio State obviously already has the one loss. It's going to be weird, man. It's going to be interesting. Like, and Alabama, that's the thing is, like, Alabama still has a path back to the national championship.
All they have to do is handle business.
No, all they got to do is handle business. They got to win out, and then they got to go to Georgia and beat Georgia, you know, who we all think Georgia is going to be their opponent, right?
Right.
So they still have a path. A one-loss SEC championship team is going to make it in the four-team playoff. They're just gonna. But it was interesting that they only fell to five. I feel like that's like, come on, man. We gotta do a little bit better than that.
I mean, I was expecting them to like free fall, but at least bottom half of the top 10.
Yeah, I was thinking they were gonna slip to like nine.
Yeah, like, especially since Oregon didn't play last week. But Oregon ended up falling it off from eight.
Yeah, Oregon ended up falling as well. But I thought they were going to be somewhere in that nine or 11 range, somewhere in between there. But alas.
And hold on. If memory serves, wasn't Oregon number three last week before they fell to eight? Losing an unranked Stanford?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, there you go. I think there are a lot of things that need to be factored in there because Alabama was a double-digit favorite, right? Yeah, Alabama was almost a 20-point favorite.
Who saw this coming? Like, realistically. Like, when I started watching college football on Saturday evening, I was tuned into LSU-Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that might be where the interest is. I thought, like, well, this might be it. And then I checked Twitter, and everybody's talking about some A&M's up 14-0. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And it just became must-see TV after that.
That's true. It did, man. It did. It was crazy. It was a crazy week for football. There was a lot of stuff that went on. Kentucky continuing to win. Boise State beat BYU. Ole Miss and Arkansas. Boy, what a finish that was. Yeah. Arkansas ties the game, and then Arkansas scores to go down one and then goes for two to try and win it. I'm not mad that Pittman decided to go for two to win the game. I think it's really easy to look at it and discount it because they didn't get it. You know, when you go for two and you make it, you're a genius. When you go for two and you miss it, you're an idiot. Right. And that's unfortunate, but I feel like neither team was stopping anybody. And you had a chance to win, to end it and win the game on the road right there and get back on the winning way, you know, as Arkansas was looking to do. I have no problem with them going for two to end the game with the game being on the line. What about you?
No issues for me. I mean, because it's like you said, they win it, they get it, they win. We don't talk about this. You took a chance. And, you know, sometimes in football you do that.
Yeah, and I mean, so, you know, you've been on the field, you've been enough huddles that you've probably been in that scenario. If you're in that position and you're an offensive player on the field, you want the ball. You want to go try and win the game.
Basically, and on top of that, you believe you can do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they put up 100 combined points. Like, nobody was there. Like, no defensive anything was there that day. It was just a slut. It was a shoot 'em up. You know, that's all it was. So, yeah, offensively, you feel like you're in a rhythm. You just scored. And winners want the ball. Offensive guys were probably screaming at Pittman in the huddle saying, give us the ball. Let us in the game. We want to do this. You listen to your kids. Like,
after going down, it's like, what, three more yards? What's three more yards after you just marched the field?
Absolutely. It was tough that it didn't work out for them, but it can't be mad at it. I mean, it made a lot of sense for them to do that. You know.
Ironically, it's also those types of losses that also stay with you.
That's true. Yeah, those are tough. But the ending of that game was fun. Nebraska almost gave Michigan a heart attack, which was weird. Michigan narrowly escapes. They win by 3. Wake Syracuse was really good. Wake Forest, the only undefeated team left in the ACC, if you had that on your bingo card for this year.
Still undefeated.
Yeah. Absolutely crazy. And then Kentucky, you know, with the win, they stay undefeated. They're, you know, they're right up there now. And it's going to be a big – it's going to – you know, we got a big game this weekend. But before we get into that, we're moving into the next segment. But there was something that you wanted to talk about. Wanted to give you time to talk about it. Something outside of college football. It's still in the world of football, but something outside of college football, which seldom do we do here. But we like to make an exception every once in a while. And there was some things that you wanted to hit on about what was going on with the John Gruden stuff as of last week.
Yeah. It's 2021. We live in a different world than we have in years past. And we're moving away from the old way of doing things and the old way of thinking and carrying on as it relates to each other and what our tolerance level are for certain things and certain behaviors and certain ways of thinking. And honestly, like this Washington football team probe that started a year ago, I think we forgot about.
A lot of people forgot about it.
I'm not sure if like you're one of them, but I sure as hell forgot about the thing. I'm like, oh yeah, there was a fine. Oh yeah, there was this. And here we are, just fast forward, and John Gruden, his name came up last week, but we didn't really think too much of it. Mm-hmm. And then his name came up again about racial slurs being used in the emails, and everything kind of like, the floodgates opened came Monday night and halftime just about of the Monday night game, which shout out to Lamar Jackson, unbelievable game.
Crazy.
But everything just kind of came busting wide open about what happened. Mm-hmm. And it's not cool, man. Just because people have a different way of thinking of you, they look different than you, they carry on different than you, doesn't mean that it gives you the right to lord a feigned veil of superiority to the next person. It's not right. It's not cool. Especially whether you're gay, straight, man, woman, black, white, polka dot, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all people, we're all humans, and this is just, it's, I'm glad that John got the karma that was coming back to him, because I don't know what you all out there like or believe or think, but the universe karma, it knows where you live at all times. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that he got his, but I feel like what happened with there speaks to a bigger issue that we have, and that honestly, even though this is a college football podcast and not a professional one, that's 6,500 emails. They found 71 slurs from John and chains, an email chain that went for years with several people, several influential people, several business owners, a mayor, a senator's son. Like, this goes pretty deep. And we still don't even know, have a full confirmation of all who was there or what was said or what was going on in those exchanges, and even maybe side exchanges that we don't know about. But I'm not sure if this rollover, this will eventually affect these kids that will go into college, the professionals one day. Some of them sooner than others. Like, what are they, what are these coaches and owners thinking and talking about us? Like, especially, like, you know, people like me, people of color, who will go on to play for these white owners and these white GMs and these white scouting officers and scout officers. That's not what I'm kind of going right now. So I'll, whatever, you know what I mean. Just what are these guys talking about? What do these guys really think about us? And I think unless they release these emails, that it's just going to be shrouded in mystery. I don't think this is fully over. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody in college football somewhere was somehow linked to this. And I think this is an unfortunate situation, but I don't think this is over.
I'm with you. I don't think it's over either. But yeah, it's tough, man. There's a difference between disagreeing with somebody and disrespecting somebody. Like, a thousand times you and I have heard somebody say something where we're just like, well, I mean, that guy's an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, you know, it's just, it's a natural like reaction, but there's a difference between, like, I don't agree with literally anything that person just said versus really using particular language. It's like there's a disconnect there at that point. Like, there's something much deeper that's rooted in you that you got to figure out, that you couldn't have just said, like, I disagreed with that take, or something maybe you of that don't. Nature.
Or maybe you don't disagree with it like that because that's just who you are as a person.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if that person said something and I disagreed with it, I could say that in an email without saying 71 things that John Gruden said. So the fact that Gruden said 71 things just means that there's, like, a deeper something there under the surface for him that he's got to work on.
Yeah.
And boy, there's just, you can disagree with people in a thousand ways and you don't have to use any of that language to do it.
Like, you don't got seven. To. And you do a seven, you hit the 71 slurs that he used during that chain. That means he's going back and forth with somebody that's giving him an opportunity to use those slurs or maybe exchanging some back with him. Sure. So the cover up there is real. There's a real mystery there as to what's going on and who said what. But for now, he's been made to seem like the fall guy.
Oh, yeah.
But we have to do better. Like, as it relates to one another, as we just kind of broaden our spectrum as to what's acceptable and being more open and more accepting of one another as people, as humans. Like, that kind of thinking, that kind of arrogance, it just can't exist anymore. And like I said, I'm glad he's gotten his just due, and I am impatiently waiting for the next few as they come down, and they will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this isn't, hopefully this gets the ball rolling. And especially for them to figure out that stuff that's going on with Dan up in Washington, because there's a whole other level of disrespect to what they're doing this weekend. Mm-hmm. You know,
absolutely.
And masking everything he's done wrong with the retiring of a jersey of a per, like, you, 4 days, you give 4 days advance to people, and right after your name comes back up in all of these things that are the evidence around him, is it hasn't been released, but we know it's damning because absolutely. It hasn't been released.
So, and anybody, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. But there's damning evidence that's sitting there that's waiting to be released. He knows it's going to be released. His name just came up again on the back end of everything that happened with Gruden. And mm-hmm. he walked into his PR team and was like, hey, what if we retired a jersey number this weekend? Maybe Sean Taylor, get on it. And now they have to scramble 4 days out of a game. 4 days. The disrespect that's happening right now, one, to somebody who most believe would be one of the greatest safeties of all time had he gotten a full shot at a career. Now, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we don't know, a couple of nasty injuries, maybe his career's cut short, but at least his life isn't. You know, we don't know. But if he gets a full career, I'm willing to bet Sean Taylor's one of the greatest five safeties of all time.
Absolutely. There's almost no question about that.
Right. And what he went through, what happened to him, and it was amazingly tragic. And then you hear all these stories afterwards, and you touched on a couple before we hit the record button, but like, the layers of disrespect that are being shown right now from Dan in Washington is just, it's so unfortunate. And the fact that people now, the fact that even as fans, I'm not a Washington football fan and neither are you, but the fact that we have to be pissed in this moment instead of just excited that a really, really great football player is finally getting his just due for the team that he played for. It just sucks, man. It makes me sad, and then it makes me angry, and then it makes me sad again, and then I get sad, and then I'm angry that I'm sad. And I feel like that's just kind of where I've been for the last day.
And it's so messed up. Even before all this dropped, I saw I watched Shannon Sharpe's podcast, Club Shay Shay. You can check it out on YouTube. He had Clinton Portis on, and Clinton Portis, and this is the story that I told you before we went live, that Clinton Portis recalled that the day for him personally that football died was the day that they just casually just moved out Sean Taylor's locker after he died. Mm. Just oh so casually, as if he never mattered, as if he never existed, in the same season. And so it just makes this just seem more fake.
Yeah.
And just a scramble drill to cover his own ass. Mm-hmm. Also, I also got to get this off my chest before we go move on. Screw Mark Davis. screw that guy. Mm. Those emails and the reports coming out that John Gruden made a racial slur mm-hmm. were out for days, mm-hmm. and he did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No disciplinary action, no fine, no suspension, no firing. Mm-hmm. We knew about the emails last Wednesday and what they potentially implicated. We had specifics on Friday.
Yeah.
And there was nothing that came down.
Yeah.
And if the other things did not come down, I believe John Gruden would still be the head coach of the Vegas Raiders.
Yes.
So... 100%. And then he had the nerve, the gall, the audacity to come out and say, in the wake of John Gruden's firing, ask the NFL, they have all the answers. Like they did something to him, like they took something from him.
Mm-hmm.
You knew what you were harboring. You knew what kind of person he was. You know what the situation was, and you still ran with it anyway. Mm-hmm. You're okay with having that kind of person as the head of your football team. For whatever reason, maybe because your thoughts and feelings align with his, maybe because you just are just so have a hard on for him or something like that. I don't know. But either way, you knew what he was, you knew what he said, and you were still fine with it. So for that, screw you.
Mm. Well, It's going to be hard to top that one, so I think we can move on from it. But yeah, I think that was something that needed to be touched on, and I'm glad that you got to touch on that, JB. I mean, listen, it's not a fun time or anything, but it's something that needs to be talked about, so I'm glad we got to do that.
Right. I mean, and it's going to eventually affect these kids that play, that are playing right now, because that's the world that they're hoping to get into.
Absolutely.
Like, if I'm a young guy and I'm going to draft next year, I'm praying now, especially a person of color, I'm praying I don't go to the Raiders. I don't want to go into that situation. I don't want to go and walk through those halls knowing that that's the guy that I'm ultimately working for, that has control of my fate and my destiny.
Sure.
I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to Washington.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what kind of operation they got running there, but it was bad enough that they got fined $10 million for.
Yep. Yeah. Boy, that's a tough one, man. Hopefully something actually comes through on Dan from Washington. And hopefully he has to sell the team. That'd be dope.
That'd be awesome.
It would be. You know what else is dope, JB?
What is up?
Looking at all these awesome top 25 matchups we have this weekend.
Oh, man.
We call that a transition. Let's start with our games. How about that?
Okay.
You go first, JB. Let's start with your game. It's in Georgia. We're in Athens this weekend, JB. Man. The other A, as it's called.
Well, all right, so we're heading to Between the Hedges, where the number one team in the land resides, and we take on the undefeated Kentucky Wildcats for what's essentially the SEC East crown. Now, like I said earlier, in weeks past, I've had this bravado and this rah-rah speech and the high energy about, I think Georgia's going to stump this team and we're going to roll them and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You're not going to get that from me this week. Because we're serious business. It's not a rivalry. This is a threat. This Kentucky team is the most well-rounded team that we've faced this season. They are finding ways to win, and they're not doing anything like in close or like squeaking out stuff. These guys are winning, and they've been doing it all year. They've got efficiency going at quarterback. They've got a stable running game. They have a very, very, very solid defense. Like, even special teams play call, they're just rolling right now. Nobody saw this coming, but it doesn't matter. We have to handle business this week. And who's going to be under center this week? Once again, we don't know. JT Daniels has been practicing this week, but he also practiced last week. But Kirby Smart did say there was improvement on his health front, so maybe there's a possibility we'll see him on Saturday, but I wouldn't count on that. We'll probably see Stetson Bennett. But Stetson has handled business to this point, and there's no reason for me not to have any faith in him and his ability to get this job done come Saturday, because the Georgia defense is still the Georgia defense, and they've stifled everybody to this point. So I don't think that that Kentucky's passing offense is as lethal or as annoying or frustrating as the Auburn one can be. I don't think the run game is as potent and as dangerous and as explosive as the Arkansas run game can be. So I think that we have stand a pretty good chance, but this is not something I need to just kind of just hold on to and just be like, this is it, and we're gonna steamroll these guys. No, this is going to be a challenge. This is going to be a test. But I still believe that Georgia's going to come out on top by the time this is said and done, and we'll roll on to get a quick break and get ready for Florida in a few weeks.
That's going to be a fun one in a couple weeks as well. Actually, I don't know why I'm saying that. I think you guys are going to smash Florida.
I hope so.
Yeah, normally it's a fun one. I think you guys are going to absolutely smash Florida.
Man, that'll be my birthday, like the following week. So
let's go.
Always play them at the end of October, early November. So that's always around my birthday. So
nice.
Fingers crossed.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a fun one, man. I'm excited. I hope. I like oddly hope that Kentucky makes it a game, but I also, just because, like, I want to see two good teams play each other, you know, and play each other well. But I also just think that you guys are going to end up winning like 28-7 kind of thing. So it's like, it's like I want it to be closer, but I also know that it's probably just not going to be closer.
Probably not.
I mean, I don't know. Kentucky, the things that they can do in the run game to try and create just complete chaos for the opposing DC, I think will be the biggest thing to watch. I'm excited about that one. But yeah, man, that's going to be a good game. I kick 4 hours after you kick. So we'll be kicking off right about when your guys' game ends.
Tell us about what's going on there.
Listen, it's under the lights.
Oof.
It's at home in Knoxville.
Oof.
It's already a sellout.
Oof.
Which we haven't had at all under the previous regime, and we now have a sellout 5 games into the new regime. Or 6.
Let's go.
So very excited about that. It's under the lights. It's at night, and Lane Kiffin comes back to where it all began.
Oof.
Lane Kiffin is a head coach. Now, he's been in Knoxville one other time as an assistant when he was with Alabama. This is Lane's first trip back as a head coach. For those of you that don't remember, it all started when Lane took the position for us and then left in the middle of the night, like 7 months later, to go to USC. There's a lot of stuff that happened, man. There are a lot of demons that need to be exercised this weekend. And I think that's the most reason why we're riled up is like, it's almost this feeling of like, if we can beat Lane, then we can put to rest the nonsense that's been happening since 2008. It's been crazy though. But I'm really excited for the game. It's two high powered offense. So Lane's offense and Ole Miss run at a very high clip like Tennessee's does. It's the schemes themselves are differently, but the offenses both have the same concept. And the concept is we're going to run 3 to 3.5 plays per minute, and we're not going to sub, and we're going to keep the defense on, and we're going to wear you guys out with short plays, and then boom, long plays over the top. Obviously, they have Matt Corral. Matt Corral, I believe the only starting quarterback in the SEC yet to throw an interception. He still has not thrown one. He's got a clean record there. So he loves taking shots downfield, and he loves getting out of the pocket and running. Kind of a lot like our quarterback, Hendon Hooker. Both quarterbacks mobile, both able to throw on the run, both have good enough arms to push the ball downfield over top of the defense. So it'll be very interesting. The run games are probably going to be the thing that I'm looking at the most, specifically the running backs, like the traditional running game.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss has a couple that have been running really well. We have a couple that have been running really well. Tyon Evans, our number one running back, has been running just really freaking good, especially over the last 2 games. He is banged up right now, so we are unsure if he's actually going to play this weekend, which is not ideal. Need everybody healthy, but I'm excited for the game. I was not this excited coming into the season. I've allowed myself to become giddy this weekend, I believe, JB, is a word that I would use. I'm excited. I think we can win, where maybe 6 weeks ago, it was more of like a hopefully, possibly, if these things go wrong for Ole Miss, then we might win. And now it's like, I think our team is good enough to beat Ole Miss, which are two very different thought processes that I've had. And that in itself makes me excited also.
You need to consider this.
Please.
That offense, that Tennessee offense, has really turned a corner the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And as you all have been coming up,
mm-hmm.
I get my finger in the camera, as y'all have been coming up, that Ole Miss defense has been going down.
Yes. Yeah.
So this they're extremely vulnerable.
Yes. If you're a betting person, just take the over. I think the over right now is at like 82, and just take the over. Just, it doesn't matter. This game is going to be like a 55-53 kind of game. There's going to be a lot of points put up here. Really, it's going to come down to one thing, and a lot of it was like Arkansas last weekend with Ole Miss. And it's just going to come down to which defense can make the stop when they most need to. And that's going to be it. One of those defenses is going to answer that question. Yeah. And one won't. So I'm excited for it. I'm really happy. I really legitimately think we have a chance to win this game.
I think you guys do too. You guys have definitely been on the upswing. Arkansas was a stiff test for Ole Miss last week, but Alabama, Arkansas, and now y'all 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
That's tough. And it's all SEC championship, all SEC competition. So yes, you guys are going to be busting each other's chops. And they've had the rough go of it over the last couple of weeks. So,
that
counts. That really does count.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll see what happens, man. I'm really excited. Some other good games that we have going on this weekend, JB. We have Oklahoma State, Texas. Oklahoma State ranked 12th, I believe. Texas at 25. Yeah.
They're 25.
Texas is 25th. That's going to be pretty interesting. Texas, a favorite at home over unranked Oklahoma State. I think that's a combination of people are probably still overlooking Oklahoma State, and it's just Texas, and the name is worth 2.5 points, I guess. I don't really know.
Texas only has 2 losses, and they're good losses.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively. Sure. On paper. Sure. Yeah, that Oklahoma one, that hurt a lot, I'm sure. Yeah. But those 2 good losses, we're not going to say they're back.
No.
We're not.
And so.
But maybe they're getting in the car. Maybe they're buckling up seatbelts so they can get on the road so they can come back. Maybe.
It's possible. Maybe. It's possible. I think it's just Sarkisian, man. That's the answer. That's just the real answer is just Sark. And I don't know if anybody trusts them. I don't. Yet. But that's the real answer. Another one I'm really excited about that also kicks off at 3:30, BYU and Baylor. Shout outs Tony, the mastermind behind all things STSI and the building of it and the creation of it. He is a big Baylor fan. BYU 5-1, Baylor 5-1, BYU coming to the Big Ten, or excuse me, the Big 12.
Yeah.
In the next couple of years. Two really good defenses. Baylor's defense has been progressively getting better and better every week, and BYU's defense has been really stout, minus the Boise State game last weekend where they had a couple of mishaps. Those defenses have been really good, and I think that's going to be a really, really fun game. Baylor actually a touchdown favorite over BYU coming in to play them, so it will be very interesting there. I kind of enjoyed that game. I kind of think that game is going to be really fun.
That seemed like it's going to be fun. I think BYU definitely needs it more. I think that they might be the better team. I'm pretty sure that they are, despite their limitations.
Yeah. I think so, too. It's really weird. Baylor's playing with house money at this point. Nobody thought they were going to be 5-1.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody thought they were going to be 5-1. Yeah. And for Baylor, I mean, not Baylor, for BYU, was last week a sign of things to come, or was it an aberration?
Yeah. Yeah. Got to win. Got to continue to win out to make sure that you can stay, within the rankings. So,
yeah
absolutely. Absolutely. No, there are a couple of games that are around the country that are probably pretty good matchups, but as far as top 25 matchups, not a lot jumps out at the page or jumps off the page. I mean,
not much more than what we discussed already.
Yeah, I could, NC State and Boston College.
Ooh,
sure. NC State's ranked. Both teams are 4-1. Both teams are playing well.
Yeah.
Boston College almost knocked off Clemson a couple weeks ago. NC State did knock off Clemson a few weeks ago.
That was what I was thinking about. NC State knocking off Clemson when Clemson was ranked, and
yeah. And yeah, Boston College almost turned around and did it, right after them. So,
yeah.
I think that'll be a fun game. Noon kick UCF and Cincinnati. Gus Malzahn's first year at UCF. They're 3-2 right now, but he knows how to screw things up sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe UCF gets a wild hair and knocks Cincinnati off this weekend. I don't think they do, but maybe.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't give them no chance. No chance.
I give them no chance either. JB, you want to know what I do give chances to?
What do you give chances to, Cam?
Our bets, JB. We last week, this is a first this year. Last week we had a push. I gave out Michigan -3 and Michigan won by 3. So we had our first push of the whole year. So we are currently, JB, this is going to surprise you. So I hope you're sitting down. You and I in the world of betting are 8-5-1 right now. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good for two dudes who don't really know what they're doing about that. I think it might be beginner's luck at this point. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, man, I'll take that.
But we're 8-5-1. Some good bets. Our hot and ready best bets have been dealing. You've been making money. If you've taken every one of our bets, you have made money. As long as each was the same unit, right? Like one unit bet. You have made money with us. You are.
Do not bet Georgia State.
Don't bet Georgia State. Never bet Georgia State. We have our two picks this weekend. I have one that I'll start with. JB's going back to an old familiar friend for this year's betting as well, which I'm not mad at. Both of our games reside in the same conference. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I mean, we'll see.
We'll see. UCLA is going to Washington this weekend. UCLA ranking ahead of Washington in the Pac-12, playing better, I think effectively and generally are just the better team. UCLA is getting a point on the road in Washington. So that is my bet. My bet is UCLA, the better team, +1 on the road against Washington.
Okay.
They're 4-2. Washington is 2-3. This game is 8:30 Eastern time kick tomorrow night or Saturday night. UCLA +1.
Okay. Well, we're going to Oregon for my pick.
There we go.
Ducks, hoping to rebound from their loss a couple weeks ago. They were off last week. Going against Cal. Going and playing the Bears. Not those Bears. But, you know, they're Bears nonetheless. Mm-hmm. Anthony Brown has been solid but unspectacular in his outing so far this season. He's missed a lot of easy throws. That Oregon offense not as humming as we've been accustomed to seeing in years past. In their loss against Stanford a couple weeks ago, Kevon Thibodeau got suspended and ejected. Well, not suspended, just ejected late in that game in the fourth quarter. That kind of caused that defensive juice to kind of just drain out. And they lost C.J. Friedel for the rest of the season, which was their leading rusher.
Mm.
So can Oregon rally and beat Cal after a week off and get 13.5? I think they can, and that's why I'm rolling with them.
13.5, that's going to be a good number. That's going to be a very interesting number, I think.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think California, outside of Arizona, is probably the worst team in the Pac-12. So I think that's a good call. I think it's a good one to go with.
It's a good rebound.
It is a good rebound, I think. And especially at home, that's going to help. Oregon being the big favorite at home, I think, is going to help. UCLA +1 dog on the road to Washington. I think UCLA wins straight up. So we're going to go with – we're going to add that one as well since we're taking – which is what we've said – if you take an underdog, you immediately add the money line as a second bet. It's not the primary bet. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to go money line, I would say also look at UCLA money line as well. Since we're taking a point to cover, which effectively means we think UCLA is going to win anyways.
Right.
Add the money line to that. Don't add Oregon's money line. It's like -700. You're literally going to make no money. just do the spread there.
There you go.
You're going to make nothing on that. It was like minus 700. You're going to make absolutely, you're going to bet $100 and make like $7 or something.
That's a happy meal.
You know, it's somebody's happy meal.
That's indeed. At least one hot and ready.
That is one hot and ready. You could probably add a second topping onto that as well and still get it.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, Little Caesars.
Yeah, shout out Little Caesars. The best pizza and really the food of all Saturdays in the fall. It's Little Caesars is everything you absolutely need to host a dope college football watch party.
Absolutely. Between them and Drizzly, you'll be set.
It's perfect. And Little Caesars is absolutely the best. We love Little Caesars in every way, shape, and form. We would like you to sponsor us. That would be lovely.
Please.
Please.
Acknowledge us.
Amen. JB, I think that's it, man. I think we got everything.
That about covers it.
We're going to try and be on Spaces more. About once a week, maybe we're going to try and do that. Possibly, yes. Kind of.
Yes, and we actually had a good time on Spaces the other night.
We did.
Had a couple of people pop in and chime in and just listen to the conversation or just say what's up. Shout out to Ronnie.
Yeah, I think we're going to try and do Tuesday nights.
Tuesday works for me.
I think that'll be fun. I think we'll get through the weekend. We might even do it. I don't know. We could get crazy and do like a Saturday night.
Maybe Saturday night during the game.
Ooh, man. Crazy. It's crazy talk over here.
Hey, we might do that.
We might do that, but this is, as always, this is a great episode, JB. You're the absolute best. You can find us. You can find JB. Where can everybody find you?
All right. So shout out to the best podcast partner in the business over there. All right. So you can find me on the interwebs at JB versus the world on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and my own central hub at JB versus the world. And you can find me on Twitter at JBV the world because versus was just too long for them.
There you go. And you can find me on Twitter at CMSestuff. You can find me on other platforms too. But to be quite honest with you, I'm on Twitter 95% of the time. The other 5% is split between Instagram and Facebook. Really, for me, I live on Twitter. I freaking love Twitter. It's the best social media platform that has ever existed. Absolutely. In my opinion. So that's where I am. I'm there. Until Tom comes back. Came into that. God, I miss MySpace.
Yeah.
Missed MySpace a whole lot.
Coding.
You know, it taught people how to code.
Right.
For sure, it taught people how to code. I didn't use it a lot as far as the coding goes, so I didn't get that. But my fiance for sure recoded like her page. This is going to be off topic, but it doesn't matter. She recoded her MySpace to go from a top 8 to a top 4. Just to piss people off even more.
I definitely was like coding the crap out of my page. Mm-hmm. I didn't use like those templates. I made my own and I was super proud of it.
Dude, it taught people how to code, man. It's one of those things that you overlook in the moment and then now you're like, oh, that was actually super important.
Yeah.
That was actually a really big deal that at 12 years old, I could rewrite a website or half a website. So something shiny could fall in the background every time you clicked a button.
Or just have like those borders pop out just a little bit.
Just a little bit more. Gosh, MySpace was so good.
So fun.
It was, man. Well, I think that's it for us. We've gone off the wagon because we are talking about MySpace. So this is probably a good time to end it. JB, what do we have for the people before we get out of here?
Hey, just go ahead and enjoy your college football. Enjoy professional football. Go outside and play football. Just enjoy football.
Enjoy football indeed. There's nothing else that can be said other than that. So, again, for us here at Walk On, for JB, I'm Cam. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you on the other side.
Take care of yourselves and each other, people.